Have you ever found yourself in a relentless pursuit, chasing the ghost of enoughness with every step that you take? It's like no matter how much you hustle and strive, that bucket of worthiness never seems to fill up. It's like running on a treadmill, right? Like no matter how fast you go, you never really quite reach your destination. Well, in this episode, we're peeling back the layers of not enough, that syndrome that plagues so many of us. From societal pressures to our own inner critics, we are going to explore the root cause of why we base our worth on external measures, and that leaves us feeling perpetually unsatisfied. And what if I told you that your worth isn't something that you need to constantly hustle for? What if I said that it's already there, nestled inside you like a hidden gem, waiting to be discovered? It is time to break free from the cycle of striving and embrace the truth that you are already whole. So, are you ready to stop chasing enough and rewrite your narrative? Oh yeah, let's go.
Do you ever feel like you know all the diet rules about eat this, but not that, and so you know what to do, but you just have a hard time actually doing it? I'm here to tell you, you are not the problem. Hi, I'm Lizzie. Welcome to the Confident Body Podcast, where we talk about all the mental and emotional parts of weight loss that diets don't tell you. It's time to step past the shame and the guilt from old diets and stop feeling like you're waiting to lose weight in order to fully participate in life. If you're ready to drop the diet mindset and learn what it takes to truly feel happy and confident in your own skin, you're in the right place. Let's get started.
Well, hello and welcome back. I am so glad and so grateful you're here. Thank you so much for your time. Let's dive into a topic that turns out most of us feel a little bit of this, at least some of the time. And that is, I feel like I am not enough. Boy, why, right? I was talking to somebody just this morning who was saying, you know, I'm a mom of two. I've got another one on the way. I'm constantly tired. It feels like nothing I do ever is good enough. And so I don't feel like I have any energy to even like wash my face at night. And just like, I feel like I'm perpetually never, ever enough. And no matter how much I do each day, I'm never going to get there. And so many of us feel this way. And what's interesting too is we don't realize that so many of us feel this way. I've just recently been doing research on the science of perfectionism as I'm looking towards writing my next book. And in this book that I've been reading about perfectionism, it turns out that this feeling of I'm not enough is actually quite pervasive. Most people feel it. And I was under the assumption that like only a couple of people feel that way. Like, I mean, I of course feel that way, but like there's something wrong with me because I feel like I'm not enough. And I was mistaken. Most people have some sort of sense of I am not enough. And we're going to get into why that is in just a second. But I've often wondered, like, where did this feeling come from in me? And, you know, because I grew up in a great home, mom and dad were amazing, super supportive. And I think part of it was I have an older brother, and he's tall, good looking, athletic, smart. And, you know, as many younger siblings can attest to, sometimes it can be a long shadow to try and live up to. But at the same time, I did fine in my own right. But I think really what it was I always wanted to be friends with my older brother. And I always felt shut out from that. I was the, I felt like the annoying little sister. I remember we went to a Christian school when we were in elementary school. And so we had chapel every morning and the younger kids would file in first and the older kids were kind of all lined up against a wall and we would sort of file in sequentially. And so I had to walk past my older brother and his classmates as I walked into chapel with my classmates. And, you know, we're little and this is the 80s and everything, but he, as I walked by, he would kind of pretend with his finger and point at me with a, pretend like a little machine gun. And he would, imagine that he was machine gunning me as I walked by, and that did not feel so awesome. And you know, little kids do those things, but my whole youth, I wanted to be friends with my brother. I wanted to be cool enough. I wanted to be worthy of his time and attention, and all I was seemingly worthy of was his disdain, was his mocking, was his sometimes metaphorical and sometimes literal punching bag. And, you know, it's interesting the way things shape us. And so many of my clients have much, much more painful stories than that. And whether there's a overt message that, you know, somebody was given when they were young of like, you know, shut up and sit down, you know, you have nothing valuable to say, or maybe it's even just society, that so many of us have this kind of empty well inside of feeling like no matter what I do, no matter how much I strive and work towards it, I never feel like I'm enough. And what's interesting, like I said, in reading this book about the science of perfection, is that a lot of it, and the reason why it's so pervasive and so many people feel this way, is because it actually comes from our culture and our society outside of us. You see, perfectionism is really about like kind of deficit thinking. It's about lack. Even though we think that like perfectionism is striving to be something, it starts from a place of not good enough. I am not perfect, therefore I am not enough. That's kind of the basis of perfectionism. And deep down, we feel those inadequacies and those flaws feel very personal. It's not like, you know, the fact that it's impossible for a human to be perfect. It's more that I'm not perfect, therefore I'm wrong. And therefore, then we feel this need to kind of conceal our flaws and our imperfections from everyone else. And this trend has been really rising since the mid-2000s, not ironically, in correlation with the advent of social media and smartphones. And, you know, as human beings, we naturally compare ourselves to others. You know, we've talked in the past about judgment and so forth, and it's like baked into our DNA to compare to other humans to see like, how am I doing with along with the tribe? Am I fitting in or am I not? And as social media has risen, as the kind of achievement culture has kind of just built and built on itself, this feeling of I will never achieve what other people have, they're enough, but I'm not, has really become very pervasive amongst our culture. And so, you know, there's our cultural messages, but sometimes there's family messages that, you know, maybe when you were young, you were told you're not good enough, you know, like, why can't you be like your sister? Or maybe you were given messages of worthiness or unworthiness because your weight or your body didn't look the way someone, you know, often a parent, thought you should. Maybe mom put you on a diet when you were 9 years old because, you know, she was worried about your happiness, but your child brain learned to interpret that as, I'm not good enough the way I am. Why can't mom just love me the way I am? And it's so painful. And we've grown up in this culture that's always hustling. And we've been taught to go on this external hunt for something outside of us to feel worthy and to feel enough, to feel better. And that's where the shoulds tend to come from. And, you know, this all ties into losing weight because sometimes it feels like losing weight can be the doorway to our worthiness. It's like that's our access point. Of like, if I could just lose weight, then I would be worthy. Then I would be enough. And it feels true. I mean, society definitely sets us up for that message. But that's just a story. You know, it's interesting. There's a life coach out there who told me a story once. She said that sometimes, you know, I'll ask my clients, at what point does somebody is a person worthy versus not worthy? So like, let's say, for example, when a baby is born, is a baby enough? Are they worthy? And most people will say, yeah, I mean, a baby, you know, is inherently worthy and they already are enough as they are. And then you can kind of go, okay, well, how about a two-year-old? Is a two-year-old worthy? Is a two-year-old enough? And, you know, some say yes, some say no. You know, but everybody has a different point. Like you can keep going older. How about a five-year-old? How about an eight-year-old, a 10-year-old? But everybody has a different point at which all of a sudden they're like, no, now that child's enoughness, their worthiness is conditional. And it's so weird because then it's almost like the person who is being asked, like, at what age does a child go from being inherently enough and inherently worthy to now it's conditional, often correlates with something happened in that person's life when they got the message that they might be unworthy, that they might have to do something to earn approval, to earn love, to earn worthiness. And it's really interesting how that connects of like our own youth somewhere in our lives, basically every single human learned at some point, I am wrong, you know, whether it's, you know, I'm pulling my sister's hair or I, you know, didn't share my toy, whatever, you learn that that's not okay according to society's norms. And we internalize that message to be like, I'm wrong. I'm not good enough the way I am. So it's really fascinating. What age was that for you? But then if you think about the child, the baby, newborn baby, literally does nothing to earn their value, to earn their worth. And yet most people are like, I mean, a child, when they're born, they're enough. They're worthy. They're born that way. And it's really, really fascinating to think about what's the difference between our essential self, our essential and inherent worthiness, and our societal self, and that cultural learning that we adapt to and adopt over time. I'm going to take a quick aside here and kind of tell you a quick story. So I love doing puzzles, particularly in the fall when football season is going on. It's like my little like escape. It's so great to have my folding table near the TV. You got college football on Saturdays, you got NFL on Sundays, and it's my way to like decompress and sort of semi-mindlessly, semi-creatively do a puzzle while there's football on in the background. Nothing better in my mind. So for Christmas, I asked for a puzzle or two, and I also happened to bucket list, want to go to Iceland, so I asked for a puzzle about Iceland, or like a picture of Iceland, this beautiful waterfall. And it was a hard puzzle, and all these like weird, craggy shapes and stuff, and I had never really seen pieces that are with this shape. And so it took me a while to finish this puzzle and get it done. And of course, I asked for it for Christmas, so football season was winding down. Like I had like a little bit of pressure, got to get it done. And so eventually, you know, obviously as puzzles will go, with each piece, you're making progress, you're getting closer to the finish. And finally, ta-da, used up all the pieces. It was beautiful, this waterfall, like at a sunset. And I'm not kidding, like right in the middle was a missing piece. And I was like, are you kidding me? Seriously? And I remember like two or three weeks prior, the dog had been up on the table, Lucy, my Cocker Spaniel. And I was like, did she eat that puzzle piece? I bet she ate it. I'm like, oh, sir. And I looked all over for this piece. And that's the thing. Like, I didn't want just any piece. I wanted that specific piece that went in that specific place. I wanted that piece with its very unique curves and its weird bumps, because that piece, like every other piece, is needed exactly the way it is. The puzzle is incomplete without that piece. And when you tell yourself that you are not enough, you are like that puzzle piece that decided the puzzle didn't need you. The world, the rest of us, is the puzzle, and it is incomplete without you. When you decide that you're too curvy, too bumpy, too weird with your extra, you're that puzzle piece that's like, I'm not needed. I don't need to be part of this puzzle. But the truth is that the puzzle, the world, is incomplete without you. And the puzzle does not need you to be different. The puzzle, in other words, the world, needs you to be exactly the way you are. Just like that puzzle piece. I didn't want just any piece. I wanted that one, exactly the way it was. And the world needs you to be exactly the way you are, with your bumps and your curves and your extra and your too muchness. It's all needed, exactly the way you are. You are the opposite of not enough. You are needed. So going back to the idea of perfect and feeling not enough is that a lot of times we feel not enough because we're trying to be perfect. And there's a beautiful song by Leonard Cohen called Anthem. And I'm going to read to you some of the lyrics from one of his stanzas. So it says, ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. That's how the light gets in. That is how the light gets in. I love this because he says, forget your perfect offering. The crack in everything is what's so beautiful. The crack is how the light gets in. And I love that because what if we are meant to embrace our human flaws? You know, a lot of times, again, we feel not enough because we're striving for perfect. But what if it's that's backwards? What if our human flaws is what makes everything so great, is where the cracks are and where the light gets through? Because when we try and be perfect, we cover up the cracks and we pretend they're not there. Or we could potentially highlight the cracks and see them as big flaws and we just like lament them and be like, I'm terrible, I suck. But what if the cracks in our humanity are the very thing that lets God's light shine forth from the inside? What if those flaws, and I'm saying that in air quotes, are so needed, those things that make you weirdly you? What if those things are so needed because that is how God shines through you into the world? That is how you shine your light. And so when we try and be perfect, we almost cover up God's light. If we can embrace our flaws and our imperfections and welcome them as friends, as opportunities to be more of who we are and who we are meant to be in this world, then we allow more of God's light to shine through us versus being trapped inside our pretend perfect outer shell. You know, there's a great parable about a water bearer and a cracked pot, and it goes like this. A water bearer in India had two large pots. Both hung on the ends of a pole that was slung across her neck. One of the pots was perfect and always delivered a full portion of water. The other pot was cracked. At the end of a long walk from the stream to the house, the cracked pot always arrived half full. The cracked pot was embarrassed and miserable. And one day, while the water bearer was filling up at the stream, the pot spoke. She said, I am so ashamed of myself, and I want to apologize to you. I've only been able to deliver half of what you give me because of this crack in my side. I leak all the way back to your house making extra work for you. And the water bearer smiled. Haven't you noticed the flowers that are growing only on your side of the path? I've always known about the crack. And so I planted flower seeds on your side of the path and not the other. You've watered them every day without realizing it. You see, you don't need to be perfect to be enough. You need to be exactly who you are. So how, right? Great idea. This is so inspiring, but how? So you have to create your own belief in your own worthiness by changing your thought patterns. So here's a question. What should our self-worth be dependent on? I mean, if anything, right? My answer is, I think nothing. Your self-worth should not be dependent on anything at all. Why? Because it's all made up. It's all just human words. Like, for example, I don't think my cat has any idea about her worth. It's all just made up. It's here. It's a thing. Everybody has inherent worth or nobody has inherent worth. Does my cat have worth? I mean, I think so, but she sure doesn't spend time thinking about it. The problem is that all of us have decided that our worth is conditional on various things, like, for example, losing weight. Here's the thing, though. You don't need to lose weight to love yourself. And the opposite is also true. You don't need to eat Oreos and ice cream to prove to yourself that you can love yourself at any size. No matter what your size, learning to love yourself is the exact same process. Start right where you are. Nothing needs to change. Nothing needs to be different about you. That's the hardest part, right? And it's the most wonderful part. You are worthy of loving yourself exactly as you are, which means you can turn towards those parts of yourself that you feel shame around and offer them love and acceptance. What would it be like to lean towards those things that make you feel shameful, that make you feel embarrassed, that you wish were different, and like look at them and almost with a hug and be like, come here, honey. I know I have ostracized you for so long, but it's okay. You're allowed to be here. I love you too. You see, beliefs are just thoughts that we've repeated over and over again. and thoughts are just sentences in our minds. It doesn't make them true. What if you were taught? What if you learned about worthiness? What if that thing that you were taught about worthiness, what if it's not true? What if your worthiness, your enoughness, it's already there? It's not outside you. It's not something to strive for. You already have it. You already are it. Your challenge is simply to receive it. There's this beautiful quote by Jeanine Roth that I think really applies here. It goes like this. For some reason, we are truly convinced that if we criticize ourselves, the criticism will lead to change. If we are harsh, we believe we will end up being kind. If we shame ourselves, we believe we will end up loving ourselves. It has never been true, not for a moment, that shame leads to love. Only love leads to love. So, are you ready for our tiny one confident body action step to put in practice this week? It's going to be an interesting one. I'll see what you think. So, I want you to ask yourself, what should I make my self-worth based off of? What should my worthiness be based on? Naturally, you get to decide any answer for you, but my suggestion is nothing. Make your worth based on nothing. For example, my cat Ellie is not over here complaining about her worthiness. She's not worried about her worthiness. My cat does nothing to earn her keep. In fact, half the time she's actively annoying me because she pees on things all over the place. And I'm like, seriously? I should buy stock in OxyClean because of how often we use it, because of the things that she finds to pee on in the night. Ugh. But it's interesting because pets are actually a really powerful example. When you're struggling with unconditional love for yourself or a partner or someone else, think about yourself and what you think about your pets. And you're not like, well, my cat could stand to lose a few pounds. I would really be able to love my cat if she would just finally get off her tail and do a few sit-ups and lose a couple pounds. No, of course not. You love your cat because she's inherently worthy. So if you can have unconditional love for a pet, what's different about you? If my cat who pees on things is inherently worthy, then why do I have to earn my own worth? I think if we can view it from that perspective, then maybe we can see how this also needs to be true for ourselves. We are all just creations of the divine, and we are all worthy. So I want you to ask yourself, what do you want to base your worthiness on? And I encourage you, if you're willing, to answer that question with one word: nothing. Don't go to your grave with regret, having spent your life wanting and waiting for someone else to give you permission to live it. Your worthiness is like the sunshine. Here on Earth, when we rotate, so some of the time we're facing away from the sun and we cannot see it. Sometimes we're facing towards the sun and it feels great. But either way, the sun is always shining. So is your worthiness, your enoughness. It's always there. Your only challenge is to receive it. So that's what I've got for you today on feeling like I am not enough. And remember that you are enough. If there's anything in this episode that's helped you, I would love it if you would write a review on iTunes or maybe share it with a friend. That would be amazing. And it might just help someone else shine her light a little brighter. And before we go, my favorite part of every episode, remember, love yourself. Because the world needs you. You are like that puzzle piece. You are needed. With your curves, with your edges, and your quirks. If you've always felt like you were too emotional, the world needs your emotion. If you were told that you were too much, the world needs all of your muchness. That is why you were here. You are not a mistake. You are very, very much on purpose. You are literally one of a kind. And when there's only one of something, it cannot be compared. And if you cannot be compared, then there is nothing to compare your enoughness to. There is nothing to base your worthiness on. So love yourself, because you are enough. That's what I've got for you this week. I'll see you next time. Thank you so much for listening today. Seriously, I know it's not a small thing, and I genuinely appreciate it, and I hope it helped you.
make sure you head on over to confidentbody.coach/tips and sign up for my 7 top tips for little shifts that create big results so that you can start feeling confident in your body right now. I will see you next week. And until then, remember, you are a miracle.